All right, let's look here at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the who of God, children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the what? Of the sons of God. All right, now, let's look at this because I want to take you somewhere today and praise God. I want to kind of piggyback off of what we've been talking about thus far. Now, we're in a new season. Say new season.
New season.
And we have been prophetically packaged to lead the world, meaning that there is something under our covers. When I say under the covers, I mean something inside of you, in your heart, that God has placed in there for such a time as this. It's in there. Now, it's going to start coming out, but I just want to let you know it's in there. Then we discovered also that the Bible is thematic. Thematic means that it runs through themes, that these things are consistent in the Bible. The Bible shows you the mind of God and how God flows. In other words, what's true in one place is also true in another. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. We also said that the church is a called out body of believers. Now, when I say that, I mean that the term is ecclesia. Say ecclesia. It means called out ones. It's a Greek word, and it has to do with people that are chosen. The Bible says we didn't choose him, but he what? He chose us. So God chose us, and he obviously saw something in us many times that we perhaps didn't even see in ourselves. But he chose you. And the Bible says, of course, by grace are you saved. Now, as this has happened, we come from the kingdom of darkness now into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And as we come into the kingdom of God's dear Son, now we're connected up with another government. And in that government, it is not a democracy. A democracy operates almost, I won't say 180 degrees out of phase, but it operates a lot of opposite the way this new kingdom works. It's a theocracy. And I like what one man said. He said, my ministry is a theocracy. And my name is Theo. No, I say Lord, I'm telling you. But anyway, so now what happens is he's put us in this new kingdom. Now, in this new kingdom, we have a king. We don't have, it's not a democracy. You don't vote in this one. It's something that a new king operates under a monarchy, or you can call it a dictatorship, which in this new kingdom, the rules are already set and the constitution has already been written. And in this new kingdom now, we become not only family members of God, but royalty or ambassadors in this new kingdom. But we have a king that is over us, and his name is Jesus. And he is over us basically as the head of this new kingdom, which is the one that has set the ground rules for this new kingdom. And you and I are now bringing this new kingdom in to invade this old kingdom. And the old kingdom was run, like I said, Babylon, run without God. And notice how the enemy tried to get God out of everything, the media, out of everything, just everything you've got, trying to get God out of it. Well, notice what we're doing. We're putting God back in it. So we're raising up people with a godly influence that'll go back into their places, whether it's education, whether it's business, whatever have you. Notice we're raising up the Joseph Business School. Now, it's not just a business school. It's a business school that does business with the Bible as its foundation. So notice we're putting it back in there and sending these people back out. Now, as we do this, we are out to transform societies. Now, we're not just out to have church. We're out to transform. Some of the biggest churches in the country are in some of these biggest cities, and the cities are not transformed. In other words, there's just as much crime, there's just as much dope, there's just as much little mobility of people who were poor moving up to the middle class or the upper class, that there is none. Because the church hasn't had its influence. And one of the biggest reasons why is because the church has not preached the kingdom. And what Jesus came preaching was the kingdom of God. Let's go back over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, please, very quickly. And if you don't know where these scriptures are, just look on the board. They have some there, and you can just write them down and research them when you, get alone or get at home or whatever. Look at verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and do what? And believe the gospel. So he is bringing people up to a whole new way of living. And this is living based and depend on the kingdom of God as our everything, as our promoter, as our protector, as everything. Everything comes in that kingdom. Now, the church is not the kingdom. The church is a part of the kingdom. Another part of the kingdom is our angels. Angels are part of the kingdom. Another part of the kingdom is the earth. The earth is part of the kingdom. So what has happened here now is our primary assignment as a believer is to advance the kingdom. We are supposed to take it forward. Let's go over to Luke's gospel again. And let's go over to Luke and chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19, just look on the board and we have scriptures there. The reason why I have scriptures is because I want you to be able to verify it yourself. Look at verse 12. And he said, therefore, this is Jesus talking, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, do what? Occupy till I come. One translation says trade. Another way of looking at the word occupy, it means to advance and to hold it. Don't give it up. Advance and to hold it. Now, as we look at this and we're in this area, we are now created in God's image. Because Adam was in the beginning and Jesus came as the last Adam to show us how the real original Adam functioned. Now watch this. Let's go all the way over to John's gospel and John chapter 17, please. Then over John chapter 17, there we talked about something called boundaries. Say boundaries. We talked about something called boundaries. Now, look what it says in verse 14 of John chapter 17. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not what? Of the world. Even as I am what? Not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them what? From the evil that is in the world. So we are not, Jesus didn't pray that we be taken up out of the conflict. He prayed that we stay in this world, occupied till he comes, and kept above the evil that is in the world. Are you with me? Now, what we said is that you and I, verse 16, and they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Another translation of that is, you are no longer defined by this world's boundaries. You are no longer marked by this world's boundaries. Just as Jesus was not marked by this world's boundaries, you are no longer marked by this world's boundaries. So what would hold the world back, or what keeps the world back, or what would be the boundary for the world is not a boundary for you. Now, you wait, because I want to teach something on a time of restoration. I'm going to show you where you can actually see the unseen. I'm going to take you through the Bible. See, the reason why you think you can't see it is because you couldn't see it when you weren't saved. But now you got a whole new features now. You've got new abilities. You've got new capabilities, if you will. Are you with me here? So you can do things that the world can't do. I mean, here's Peter, and Peter saw Jesus walking to him on the water. He said, Master, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, well, come. What did Peter do? He got out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, when he took his eyes off of the word and put his eyes on his circumstances, it affected his thinking and he began to sing. So as a man thinketh in his heart, come on, so is he. And that's found in Proverbs 23:7. Now, my point to you is, it's amazing how much has been injected into our thinking. But it was not in the original Adam, and it was not in Jesus. And Jesus says, as he is, so are we supposed to be in the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. So you and I have new boundaries now. As a matter of fact, God has created us with no boundaries, meaning that we can operate in an unlimited fashion. Now, I want to correct something, because the boundaries that you and I have are the word of God. Thou shalt not steal. That's a boundary. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, we went on because we want to talk about now, here is this church, and we as the church, now you follow me here, we are supposed to take this new government and then bring this new government into the earth to replace the old government. Pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So the same as it is in the government of heaven is the same as it's supposed to be here. So in other words, you and I have been sent to manifest his kingdom here in this earth. Jesus was, he preached the kingdom, then he manifested it. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He even told the disciples, feed them. There were 5,000 plus women and children, 20,000 people, and they're trying to figure out, wait a minute, how are we going to do this? Now, the reason why they could do it is because they had no boundaries anymore. Lord Jesus, stay with me here. So now, and it takes a little while to get used to this, because you got to reset your thinking, because you know, your thinking blocks your way. It's not what you've been born. You've been born new. You've got the same spirit as God has in him now, but you can't move and appreciate and be able to appropriate the power that is in that spirit without your soul. That your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination has to play a part in it, because God will not violate your will. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now stay with me, because this is going to be good. So now thy kingdom. So the kingdom has principles and laws and culture and things that govern this kingdom, this new kingdom. It is a kingdom of integrity. It's a kingdom of abundance. It's a kingdom of protection and deliverance. All these things in this kingdom. And another thing that's in this kingdom is something called justice. Justice. Now, this justice is vital, a vital part of kingdom manifestation. It's not a minimum, it is a maximum area. And if you look in the Bible, the justice is all over this thing. Now, a lot of times people don't see it because the King James interprets it just a little bit differently. But if you go into Greek and Hebrew, you'll see it's right there. Now, why justice? Because the justice system of the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. The justice system. Now, when I say that, I mean that if the enemy can affect the laws of a country, then he can control the masses of that country. The devil only has so many demons. These demons' job is to enforce their master's will. And he doesn't have but so many of them. God, on the other hand, has innumerable number of angels. That's what it says. So the devil has to maximize his resources. So notice people in farms and all of that, they don't have the same problem with some of the demons that they have in the cities. Because the demons have focused themselves in the cities because that's where the masses of people are and they can get the biggest return on their activity. Now, all of this is in the unseen realm. And the Christians are the only ones that can cast out a devil. They're the only ones that have the power and the authority to be able to tell a demon what to do. And he has to obey them. That's part of the laws of the Spirit. Are you with me? Now, so the church is powerful to the degree that the church can annihilate any of the devil's works, that anything that Satan has done, the church has the power in it to annihilate it. Annihilate, I looked it up. It means to obliterate. It means to reduce to nothing. It means to destroy the existence of and leave no trace. So the believer carries enough power called the anointing on the inside of him or her that they can go out and they can actually alleviate the suffering of a section of humanity and leave no trace of the devil's curse and work in their lives. Now, Jesus went and the man had a withered arm. And Jesus went in the synagogue, told him to stretch it out, and it was healed just like the other, no trace. Jesus went, and here were people who were maimed. Their arms actually grew out, no trace. Jesus went, and it was a demoniac man that was out of his mind. And here he was, cutting himself, crying, couldn't sleep at night, so forth and so on. What happened here? Jesus got the demons, commanded the demons to come out. The man was seen sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, because he was naked, and in his right what? Mind. No trace that the devil's been there. I'm only saying, I don't care what's been done in your life. God has enough power that's coming through the church that will leave no trace that the devil has even been working in your life. Say amen to that. You see, folks, there is a whole storehouse in heaven. The Bible says Paul went up to the third heaven. Well, if he went up to the third heaven, there must be a first and second. And I'm telling you now that in one of the heavens, there is a whole storehouse full of body parts. And these body parts are in the spirit realm that have to be accessed by faith. So if you ever go to the doctor and he said, well, there's nothing we can do about this, tell him I sure appreciate it. I'm going back to get me a new part. I'm just going back to get a replacement. Praise God. Now, hold it. Pastor, how do you know this? I know it because the Bible tells me. Well, how do you know it's true? Because I believe the Bible. You see, how do I know I'm saved? Because I believe the Bible. And because of it, now because I believe that, I didn't act like I used to act. I don't steal hubcaps anymore. I don't do all the things that because now I believed it, and because I believed it, it transformed me. Got it? Now, okay, so this kingdom, what's vital to this kingdom is justice. Now, I received a letter lately, and a person wrote me, And they wrote me because they felt that some of this that I'm teaching is inappropriate. Now, wait a minute. That's their opinion. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop teaching it. I mean, it's just their opinion. All right. Now, let me show you what it. They don't feel that this topic is appropriate for the gospel. They said, why don't you just preach the word? All right. That is evidence that they don't know the word. All right, let's go to Psalm chapter 80, please. Let's go to Psalm chapter 89. Oh, I get some hate mail now, I'm telling you. But you know, I'm strong, I can take it. Hey. You know, I love you. Yeah, that's all right. It doesn't make any difference with me. You can write all you want to write. I'm on the new orders. I'm on a mission. Man, I'm telling you, man, once you get a hold of this, you know, that's why a lot of people don't succeed in the kingdom, because they're still trying to vote on it. When God tells you to do something, he's not asking for your opinion. But see, wait a minute, in democracy, we can give our opinion. You can't do that in the kingdom. He don't want to know your opinion, not unless he asks for it. He wants you to obey him. He's the commander. What you do is say, yes, sir, and carry this thing out. That's what you do. Say amen to this. Look what it said in verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before my face. Now notice what he's saying here. He is saying the foundation of God's throne is going to be justice. It's going to be one of the major things is justice. Why? Because the enemy goes after that justice system. He's got to maximize what he's doing now. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. I dare you to come in this Old Testament and you look at all kinds of places and you'll see justice, 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 justice. Because it's a foundation of the throne of God. Look what it says next. This is let's go to verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is how long? Forever. And the scepter of thy kingdom is right scepter. You look that up. It's talking about justice one more time. Hold it. Maybe that's not clear. Maybe you still kind of doubt me. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to reel you in like a Philadelphia lawyer. Let's go up Isaiah chapter 9. You see, the only way the devil can get over on you is through ignorance. That is the only way. Believe me when I say this. The first thing he's trying to convince you of is there's something you don't have yet. Let me ask you, if you get an acorn seed, all you have to do to get that seed to do what it's supposed to do is what? Plant it. Is the leaf in that seed? Yes. Come on, are the leaves in that seed? Yes. Are the branches in that seed? Yes. Folks, it's been loaded in you. It's been loaded in you. I'm just trying to create the conditions for it to come on out. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 9. You heard this verse before. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his what? Shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Come on. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no what? End. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with what? Justice from henceforth, ever, forever, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So he's bringing out here that this throne is established with justice. And this justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. And that it is probably, I think, a number one target of the enemy, that he wants to pervert the justice system. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about here. Here is Daniel. And Daniel, I'm coming back, by the way, to Psalm chapter 82. Let's go to, I'm not going to take you there. You just take my word for it. Don't believe it. Look it up. Daniel chapter, I have to do that, folks, you know, because I don't want no letters. See, you don't write me, write Jesus. He's responsible for us. Don't write me, man. I don't want no letters. See, when you go and taking people ahead, the enemy tries to close in on you. Because if you get free, he's done. In Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, what had happened? God had raised him up through his gifting. Now, the king looked and thought about setting him over the whole kingdom. Now, understand, Daniel was a Jew, and he's being raised up in a heathen kingdom. All right? So, he was raised up. Now, the counselors, governors, and all of that conspired. What kind of law can we make that can get this man in trouble? And they made a law that no one can pray to any god except the king for the next 30 days. This is all in Daniel chapter 6. What did Daniel do? After the law was made, the king signed it. Daniel went right up into his room as usual, opened the windows, praise the Lord, glory to God. Now, what was wrong with this man? His priority was the kingdom of God. Now, I'm saying something, because you're coming to a time where darkness is going to get darker. And that people, not maliciously trying to do it, but think they're doing right and make laws against your kingdom. Now, you got a choice. What are you going to do? Your allegiance is first to your kingdom. Come on now. It's not to the Republicans or the Democrats or the Independents. It's to your kingdom. You are a Christian first. Got it? Say amen to this. So you're looking to please your government because they got you here on a mission and you need to be protected. And for you to be protected, you need the anointing. And you need the anointing. And if you fear them, the anointing lifts. Fear of man bringeth a snare. I don't fear no man. Doesn't make any difference. Because no man is my source. Say amen to that. Now, when you get free like that, then you can move like God's called you to move. Now, understand, we got to understand this whole idea of vengeance. Are y'all with me here? Now, this is where this word vengeance comes into play. Because vengeance has nothing to do with hatred. It has nothing to do with somebody getting even with, I'm going to get you at 3:00. It has nothing to do with that. Vengeance is it's something that proceeds from the love of God, of the love of justice, and it's necessary for punishing offenders. It's not something that's trying to destroy somebody. It's not something that's trying to hurt somebody. It's something that's protecting you so that you can move forward and do everything you're supposed to do. And what has happened here is that once the Holy Ghost once Jesus rose from the dead and went back to the right hand of the Father, now he said, I'm going to send you another Comforter. The comforter that he sent you was the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost now, he has taken the ministry of Christ completely over, and that now he is executing that ministry. Lord have mercy. Stay with me now. And the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people so that nothing will hurt you and nothing will escape him. He has now been sent for your comfort. He has been sent so that you can move into places of even danger and nothing can hurt you. Nothing can touch you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the Bible is thematic. That means what's true in one place is true in another. So what we did is we went all the way back to Exodus and showed you Moses. Moses' job was to go into a very tight place, meaning before Pharaoh, and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, you can't, how are you going to tell Pharaoh that? Anybody talk like that to Pharaoh, Pharaoh will instantly have him executed. But God had to take Moses to do it, but before he did, he showed Moses what vengeance would do and the power that was operating with him so that Moses would create a new sense of thinking and behaving as he went to Pharaoh. So he demonstrated it and then sent him down there. Now Moses was brought up in the court of Pharaoh, so he knew the power of Pharaoh. Yet he went down there and God said to him, God say, Pharaoh will not let them go, not by a mighty hand. That means he's not gonna let them go. Don't try to get an army to go down there and get them, because you're not going to get them through that. Because Pharaoh is not only using natural ability, but he's using witchcraft. You know that. When the magicians came out, Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's palace. He's seen Pharaoh being entertained by witch doctors. He's seen that. And so it was something on the mind. And that's what I told you. Fear, the Hittite spirit. The Hittite meaning, have meaning terror, comes from the sons of Heth. And the Hittite was a strong man of fear, that when you try to go somewhere, that fear will grip you and paralyze you. And it's designed to do that. Another spirit was the parasite spirit. The parasite spirit is a spirit that produces lameness. I told you it was the same as a Tiny Tim in that movie, The Christmas. What was the name of that movie? The Christmas Carol or whatever. It's a Tiny Tim spirit. It's a spirit that's dependent on somebody all the time to help them up. And what happens is that spirit will come in on people and they will never grow up. They will always be always depending on some man to help them. Well, you can't grow up in God like that. Somewhere I'm gonna have to transition you off from being me doing all your praying for you so that you can go pray for yourself. Because you do not have a Tiny Tim spirit. Another spirit is a Jebusite spirit. Jebusite means to stomp on. It literally means to thrash. It's a spirit that is designed to keep people down. And you'll see sometimes ministries, they always want people to call and come to them, come lean on them, and never let people grow up and so forth. You gotta watch that, because that's that stomp on spirit. I'm not gonna teach you the word. I'm gonna know all the word, and I'm gonna keep you kind of like you always got to depend on me. Because I know all the word, I'm going to stomp on you and keep you down. So notice, all these spirits were working that you couldn't see in the seen, in the unseen realm, in the seen realm, but they were working. Now my point to you is Moses got to go down there. So how's he going? He's going with three things. One, he's going with a stick. That's all he's got. Second, he's going with Aaron. Aaron's going to be the mouthpiece. Thirdly, he's going with God. And God said, that's all you need. You don't need a battery of lawyers. Come on now. Come on. You don't need a bunch of technicians. What you need is me. I'm going to take you down there, and I'm going to make the most powerful man in the earth let my people go through your mouth. Say amen to that. Now, I'm telling you that same anointing is resting on the church in this hour. You have been prophetically packaged just like Esther. Esther was in that palace, and at a certain time when Haman had schemed up how to kill all the Jews, he got Ahasuerus the king to sign the writing. I'm talking about unjust laws have been made, and these unjust laws, many of God's people can't even see the injustice of them because they don't have any discernment. They don't know what's right or wrong anyway. But when I come in and teach you what God says about your situation, all of a sudden something rises up in you. Now, this is why I got the letter. They wrote me the letter, said, now you brought up Rosa Parks, and that we shouldn't go all the way back to all that stuff. You stir up all kinds of stuff. Wait a minute. The problem with Rosa is that Rosa caught a glimpse of what her rights were while she was sitting. Come on, we're not talking about hate. We're talking about love and justice. So what had happened is now all of a sudden she said, I'm not going to sit back here anymore. I'm going to move up. And I'm telling you, the laws had been made, but nobody really acted on these laws. So Rosa decided to stand up for what was right. Say amen to that. So what I was showing you is that now she was breaking barriers. She was going through boundaries. And Satan has tried to put boundaries in every one of our lives. I don't care what background you come from, there is a boundary in your life, and you are breaking through starting today. Now, let's keep going, because this is where we left off. So here's Moses coming out there. So Pharaoh begins to start negotiating with him. The first time Pharaoh said, don't go too far. Now, I said that Pharaoh is a negotiator. Satan is a negotiator. And he was running Pharaoh. He was talking to Pharaoh. He told Moses, said, Moses, well, listen, I'll tell you what now. I'm going to let you take the children out of here, but don't go too far. In other words, don't go further than I can see. I won't be able to see you out there. What do you think Moses said? No. Say no.
No.
All right. Now, what happened next? He said, I'll tell you what. You can go, but leave the kids. What did Moses say?
No.
Wouldn't take it. Now, I'm telling you that he's a negotiator. And then he said, next, you can go, but leave your cattle and your herds, all your livestock. What do you think Moses said?
No.
All right. What I did is I made analogy from that to today. And I said to you that what happened is the Supreme Court made a decision. They made an unjust law. No Bibles in schools, public schools. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Turn to Psalm 103, please. See, some people, for some reason, don't want the truth. And you know, if you don't want the truth, you are being influenced by something other than the Spirit of God. So look what happens here. Psalms 103 and verse, Lord have mercy, didn't read my, it's 82. And look at verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom, come on, rules over all. Come on back to Psalm 24, please. I'm almost done. I know you got a chicken in the oven. Come on back quick. Come on. Are you there? Psalm 24. The earth is the whose? Lord's. Let me read it again, because somebody may somehow think I misread that. The earth is the whose?
Lord's.
And the how much? Fullness thereof. And if you're in doubt, still. And the world, and they, keep going, that dwell in it. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to who?
God.
So whatever ground that school is on, it belongs to who? It belongs to God. Now, I'm God's representative here. I said, I am God's representative here. I don't know what ground it belongs to, but it says that. Now, understand, I'm a joint heir with him. Now, let's keep going. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 33, please. I don't want to get no more letters. I mean, you ain't going to tell me what to preach. See, let me tell you something. I cannot be bought. When I came in here, nobody sponsored me. Nobody sponsored me. I came in here with Jesus, and he opened every door, and I had no place to stay for me and my family. A lady took us in because she said the Lord told her to take us in. I'm telling you, the Lord put me in here, and when I get ready for me to go out, he'll take me out. Now, are we still here?
Yes.
Now, I'm about to say something here because I want you to get this. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 33, and look at verse 22. It says this, for the Lord, keep going, is our who? Judge. The Lord is our who? Lawgiver. The Lord is our who? King. And he will do what to us? He will give us victory. Now, that doesn't make any difference what time it is. It doesn't make any difference what laws they made. I got a judge here that is over the Supreme Court. I've got a lawgiver here that is over Congress. I've got a king here that is over the White House. So in any case, if somebody doesn't line that law up with heaven, then I'm going to the judge. I'm going to the one who can take one out and put another one in there. You better hear what I'm saying. All you got to do, come on over here to Daniel if you want to see it. Come on over here to Daniel real quick. Praise God. I'm putting this all on tape because I want all them doubters, them gainsayers to get this. Daniel chapter 2, please. Praise God. Let me know when you get there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look what it says about God. It said in verse 19, then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are whose? His. And he changeth the times and the seasons. And underline this, he removeth kings and he'll set up a king. Say amen to that. And Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 5, he thought he was all that because he was so rich and everything, and some handwriting appeared on the wall and he got Daniel to interpret it. Daniel said, this time next year, you're going to be out of a job. Not only that, you're going to have hair grow on you like an animal. Not only that, you're going to be in the field eating grass like an ox. Not only that, you're going to be a total disgrace. And next year, that time, Nebuchadnezzar had a hair like an animal out there eating grass like an ox until he repented and said, Jesus is Lord, and he came back in. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody is bigger than God, and God is on your side. And the idea that you would pit God against man is a ridiculous idea. God puts up one and will take down another one. I'm saying in our lives, I know who I believe in. I believe in God. I know who my Redeemer is. My Redeemer lives. I'm saying God is on your side. And if it's not looking like it's right, go to the judge, because he can change laws. He can change ordinances. I'm telling you, this is our time, saints of God. You've been set up for such a time as this. Now, so what did he do? Sit down for just a minute. Let me finish it now. What did he do? The enemy did this. He said, I'm going to negotiate with you. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you have private schools. You can put your Bibles over there. But I want the public schools. Give me the public schools. You take your Bibles, go on over there, y'all praise the Lord, and give me all of this. What did he do? Somebody negotiated with him. And next thing you know, our kids are over there. All kinds of stuff is happening. Let me tell you a little bit about youth, because you may not know about them. The first ages that the enemy comes after in our youth is between 13 and 15. And he comes after them, and what he does is he changes culture with them about every 5 to 6 months. Now, why so quickly? Because it's a machine, and this machine is looking for stuff to sell your kids, because the kids' spending amounts to about $100 billion a year. So he put something in this machine to crank out that they can sell. Oh, what does he do? He puts a new rap artist in there. Come on, what does he do? He puts new shoes and tennis shoes in there. What does he do? He puts new baggy pants in there. What does he do? He puts a new drink. He puts new tattoos in there. I'm just saying, notice what he's after. He's after to get this culture and change the habits. He wants to brand this age for himself. He's after these children. He's trying to make it so that he can corrupt them, and he cares nothing about morals of these children. He doesn't care. He gives them a movie that they shouldn't be watching. He gives them all kinds of seductive things so that they can invest in fornication and adultery. Come on. He does things to try to get them in the video games to destroy somebody and think about killing somebody. He doesn't care if they get AIDS. He doesn't care if they get some kind of STD. I'm telling you right now, he's out to lock up our children. He doesn't care one thing about them. All he cares is about is ching ching. Did the money hit the bucket? So I'm telling you right now what has happened. He has created a culture that is out of control. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna step in between the devil and our children. We're gonna rescue every one of our children from the works of the devil. Know that public school, we're gonna invade this thing. We're gonna take it all back. We're gonna change the laws again. We're gonna have legislators that are not sold out to somebody's money, but sold out to God. Sit down for just a minute. Oh yeah, he knows they're the next generation. You look when Nebuchadnezzar swept down and took Judah, the Jews, because of their disobedience. And he took them all in captivity. But you look in Daniel chapter 1 and see who he took. He took the ones that look good, ones that are easy to teach, ones that are come from families that have a little something going for them. Took ones and so forth and so on, and young and so forth, and left the rest. Why? He wants to use the best ones that we can produce. He wants to get the best kids that he can to work with them. I'm telling you, those days are over. Those days are over. There's some things wrong, folks. Now we're gonna fix them. But we're going to fix them God's way. Wait a minute. We don't hate anybody. Because if you do hate, then you will take on something that will jeopardize your whole life. You got to walk in love. But you're going to obey the commander. Isn't this wonderful? So, what am I telling you? This youth, that's our next generation. These are the ones. I'll tell you what, just give me those. Moses, you can go, but leave the kids. No. Church, you can go now. Just leave me these public schools. No. No. It's not supposed to be. Turn to one more place. Psalm 82, please. You all getting this here?
Yes.
Justice is included in the gospel. And if you didn't include it in there, you haven't preached the full gospel. Folks, we've had preachers and so forth. They don't want to touch this because they're still looking for a handout from the government. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying time is over for punk preachers. We need it now. So wait a minute. This is the deal. And notice, because it wasn't the kingdom, it's got the church so fractured. I had a man that come in here doing a faith conference. I met him out there, and he's well-to-do, and he's got a lot of connections and so forth. He said, you know, I visited because I went down to Haiti and came back so forth, and they invited me here, and I came. He said, normally, I wouldn't have come to a church like this because I'm such and such a denomination. Such and such a denomination. We brothers. But you see, people have preached church and not kingdom. Haven't preached kingdom. Last place. Now understand, when you hear teaching like this, you can make a decision. And if the devil got you, you're going to make a decision whether you're going to run with him or you're going to run with God. Because God can take that same gift that's inside of you and make something out of you. But the devil, because the devil can't make nothing last. That's his problem. Where did I tell you to turn? Psalm 82. And we, you know, hate. We're not hating nobody. We're just saying we want what's ours. And the earth doesn't belong to the devil, nor anybody in it. We're taking everything back. Now, I know for some of you, this might be a little aggressive. That's because you've been passive all your life. You don't know what it means to stand up for Jesus. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm only telling you where you're located. Folks, I remember you on a bus one time, a man back there talking about God. Well, God, you know, God is, nobody paid any attention. But he messed around and said the name Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus, boy, everybody really want to look. Why? Because that name. Demons tremble when you use that name. I'm not talking about God, I said Jesus. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, we about to get bold here. Now, what am I saying? Let me tell you, give the last piece what I'm saying here. Verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? How long are you going to let this wickedness go on? He's talking to us now. This is us. He said, defend the poor and fatherless and do what? Justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are who? God's. And all of you are children of the Most High. Here's what Jerry Savelle said, and I'm going to read it one more time. I copied it down from his message. My people are letting the adversary get away with too much. They are not making him pay for what he's put them through. They're letting him get off too lightly. Folks, not only are we going to get the property back, We're going to make Satan pay damages for what he has stolen. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for today. Now, let me say something here. Because the end product of this is that we are going to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. You and I have been chosen for that. Now, let me tell you this. God has a way for us to do this. You just don't run off and get crazy and go do it. But he has a way, he has wisdom, ways that we do change things in this earth. But I'm here to tell you right now that that enemy has taken those kids and taken them from this classroom into the prison. And that's not going to happen anymore. We're going to cut that devil off. Now, I'm saying, don't write me no letter on this. I don't have time to even deal with your nonsense. I'm telling you right now, what I'm preaching is the gospel. And some people don't want to hear it because you got the wrong spirit operating through you and you're trying to stomp on somebody and keep them down. I'm telling you, those days are over. We are all children of God. We're all part of the same family, red, black, white, so forth and so on. We're going to love one another. The world's going to see us love one another. And then Jesus is going to come back and we're going to sing hallelujah to Jesus. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Before you leave, somebody here who doesn't know Christ, I'm asking you now, right now, if God is speaking to your heart about being born again, I want you to do something. I want you to put aside every excuse that you would have, including what you think about me. I want you to put aside every excuse. My job here is to give you the truth. And the Bible says if you continue in the truth, it will make you free. The sad part about it is half of the people who are in bondage don't even know it. The reason why they were born in it and raised in it. But let me tell you, when I got free of debt, when I got free of sickness, when I got free of my house is so at peace, there have been no arguments in that house for years and years. When I got, folks, I was raised in a house where they was fussing and fighting. That was the order of the day. We about to go at it. And it was terrible. People here have never experienced what it means to have no bills. People here have never experienced what it means to go in a house that's got plenty and peace. They've never experienced that. I'm telling you, you can. Because you can take the Prince of Peace home with you tonight. Now, if you were like I was a great pretender. You know, oh yes, I'm the great pretender. Oh, yeah, thank you, buddy. What I'm saying that I was working for a company called IBM and computers, and I was just acting like everything was fine. And do you know I was miserable? I'd go home at night and I'd keep the TV on and go to sleep by it because something inside of me was even fearful about silence like that. I wouldn't tell anybody about it because I was trying to be a man. But I was miserable. And one night, after the doctor had given me a bad report on my health, after the garnishy people, the people from one of the major stores tried to garnish my check, after my sales were just going down, I came to myself. And with tears in my eyes, my head on that pillow, I said one thing, Lord, help me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A few days later, dear sister walked by my place, my desk at work. She said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? I was single. She looked good. I said, yeah. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yes,
God knows how to get you to a meeting. He knows how to get you here. And so what happened next? I walked in there, drove way up the north side of Chicago and went into a schoolyard and parked and went into a door of an auditorium. And I came to the door and looked up and everybody was holding their hands up, praising God. What a thing. I wondered whether I was in the right place or not. And a brother saw me, said, God loves you, brother. He knew her, I guess. He hugged me. And something happened. I just broke. I knew I needed Jesus in my life. But I was fighting it. I kept making excuses for not doing this or going there, giving my life, because I thought my fun was going to be cut off. But I have never had so much fun in all my life. Folks, you can get so high in the spirit until you get drunk and wake up the next morning without a hangover. What am I saying? The devil is a counterfeit. He told you you were having fun. Now, he's trying to counterfeit God's fun. So what happened? I gave my life to Jesus. Man of God laid hands on me. Power of God hit my body. I knew something had happened to me. I was totally healed. Not only that, took me totally out of debt that year. Oh, no man, nothing, even to the day. Oh, nothing. And not only that, he took me to the top of the ladder in sales, number one downtown in IBM. I'm telling you, what God did for Bill Winston, he will do for you. Why? Because the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you today. The same prayer they prayed for me that saved my life, brought me into a new beginning. All my sins were blotted out. My guilt went out of my mind. Condemnation went out of my heart. And I was a free man. It's time for you to be free. Now, I don't know who you are because you're sitting up here and you look very intelligent, very wonderful. But I know if you don't have Jesus Christ, there's an emptiness inside of you. So if you give me this pleasure, I would like to pray for you the same prayer they prayed for me that night. That brought me into the kingdom, and I've been just rejoicing ever since. If you're ready for it, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that later. I'm asking you right now to let me pray for you that you'll join the family of God. And if that's you, I'm asking you to do one thing. Don't put it off. Don't say next time when I come. Jesus said, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart, for today is the day of your salvation. So whoever that is I'm talking to right now, give me the privilege of praying with you right now. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up and stand with me right here at the altar.